You know, about it was a little over 2 years ago, the Gideons started making plans to have a state convention in Anderson. Been a good while since we'd had one up here. And through the hard work of what we're able to do, last Sunday, this Sunday, and next Sunday, we're having over 180 church services, just like the one we're having today. We've got five in Piedmont today. And we're so thankful for the pastors that opened up the church to us to allow us to come in and speak and tell what the Gideons are doing around the world. This morning, our speaker is Brother Tim Thomas. With him, he has his wife Deborah and his daughter Rebecca. They're from Aiken, South Carolina. Tim is currently serving. He's held most of the offices in his camp, local camp, but he's also serving as our state president this year. So we would like to ask Tim to come and share with us what the Lord has laid on his heart and what the Gideon ministry is doing now around the world. Tim?
No, I'm not good enough. I've got some things I need to work on in my life before Jesus can come in. This was the response of Benson, a 72-year-old farmer, a father of eight, a grandfather, living all of his life on the mountainside northeast of Nairobi, Kenya. Benson was asked if he was born again. And then another question, has there been a time in your life when you asked Jesus to come in? His answer was still, I'm not good enough. As you know, the Gideons International is an association of born-again Christian business and professional men. And since 1899, our single purpose has been to share the gospel with the world. Today, we're organized in over 200 countries and distribute scriptures in over 90 languages. And by God's hand, he allowed the Gideon ministry to distribute the 2 billionth copy 2 years ago somewhere in the world. We don't do the work that the church is supposed to do. We distribute testaments in the highways and byways of life. You best know us for hotels and motels, but we're much more than that. We distribute testaments to students in schools and colleges, to prisons, to fire and medical personnel, as well as women and men in the armed forces. And as of members of churches just like yours, which I feel very much at home this morning, we are out sharing with God's people how he is using the seeds that are being sown. So we're an extension of the local church and work in partnership with churches, evangelical churches all over the world. So church, you can say, your church, you sponsor and support 256,000 missionaries. So when you brag on your church's mission efforts, that's something you can say. And even more than that, you don't have to send those missionaries. They live there in those countries. They speak the language. They have the relationships with the communities. But often those missionaries, those Gideons and those wives, the auxiliary, they barely have the funds to care for their own family, much less to buy scriptures to distribute to those that don't know Christ. So your missionaries cry out for just those scriptures so that they can do the work that God has called upon them. The promise of Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing in which I sent it. And we claim that promise. Never in history has there been a more urgent time for us to be about his work. You have to watch much TV or read much newspapers to see what an urgent time that we live in. But God is faithful. He is continuing to open doors to countries like never before, allowing his holy word to go forth in a great way. Places like Ethiopia, Malawi, Angola, Malaysia, Indonesia, the highest densely Muslim populated country in the world. His word is going forth. The People's Republic of China, for the first time ever, Japan, just to name a few, in Europe, where thousands of Syrian refugees are fleeing persecution. They're receiving God's word distributed by faithful Gideons. Why are they Muslim? That's all they've ever known. Some of us may say, well, why are we Christian? That's all we've ever known. But now they're getting to know something else. Please pray for our Christians in Syria. There are 21 Gideons and two wives serving there. Pray for their safety. For over 100 years, God has chosen to use you, church, to carry out the Gideon ministry with the single purpose of reaching men, women, boys, and girls with the gospel of Christ. Worldwide, 92.8 million scriptures were placed or distributed in the past 12 months. Now, 92 million is a hard number for me to get my mind around, but when I break it down, that's 250,000 scriptures a day are being placed or distributed in this world. Church, your fingerprints are on those scriptures. You have something to do with that. Each one is being placed one by one. Even more awesome than that is 84% of those 92 million are intentionally placed in the hand of our young people, grades 5 through college. How else are we going to change the course of our world unless our young people are reached with Christ? Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How will they know unless they receive it? That's why we place the word. 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Kenya and partner with the Gideons there to carry out a 2-week scripture blitz. It was on September 11 that I was there, 9/11 as we know it, 3 years ago. I woke up in that strange country, far from the comfort of my home, to hear a Muslim call to prayer at a nearby mosque, that sound that's so eerie. As I lay there in my bed covered with mosquito netting, I prayed for our safety that day, for my family, for our distribution efforts, and that God would use me that day that in a way that I might reach the lost. And that day, starting to leave Nairobi and traveling 50 miles by truck out of town to meet my Gideon brother for our distribution route, when we arrived and loaded our truck with all the scriptures that we would carry, we headed out. We were having difficulty finding our schools. There are no signs. You just have to be country smart to know where you're going. And the Gideon brother wasn't having a real good time with that, and I was not able to help him. We saw a little rusty sign side of the road, and all we could make out was it said school. And we followed that dirt road, and the farther we went, the narrower it got and the rougher it got. It got to the point that we had to get out and walk. And we came to a gate, and we could see that it was a school. And it had a big swing gate, but it had not been opened in so long. No vehicles had been there, only a path. And as we ventured our way to the head teacher's office, we stated our business and what we wanted to do there. We met with the head teacher. And I asked her, I said, "Do you know the Gideons?" She says, "Oh, yes, I know the Gideons. You were here 20 years ago. I was a young teacher then. Where have you been?" Well, church, I didn't have an answer for. I knew the answer, but I couldn't give it. And the answer was that there was not the funding to buy those scriptures. There were not the people to do the work. Because, see, even the local Gideons that lived there in Nairobi, we were 50 miles out. This was country. But for the first time in 20 years, all of those students received the testament, and the teachers received the full Bible for their school. And see, in the schools there, there may be one Bible, and it may not have a cover on it, and the pages are all dog-eared, but they're memorizing that Bible. Those students are writing those verses over and over on that chalkboard. But during the 2 weeks there, with the help of the local Gideons and the 22 other men from all over the world, the Gideons there, we came and we worked together and we shared 759,000 scriptures. We went to over 1,800 schools. Every school was open to receive God's word. We went to prisons and hospitals and offices. You remember 72-year-old Brinson, I'm not good enough. We had the problem finding the school, and after that school, we met Benson side of the road, and Benson was a local, and he agreed to go with us. And like many of the guys there, they're born again, and they're not ashamed of the gospel. And when they introduce themselves, they say, "Hello, my name is Alan. I'm born again." They let you know how they stand. So as I turned around to Benson, I asked Benson if he was born again. And he just had this stare. And then I said, "Benson, has there been a time in your life when you received Christ?" And he says, "No, I'm not good enough." So I asked Daniel to pull over, and I got in the back seat, had to clear Bibles out of the way, and got in the back seat with Benson. And I started sharing that testament with him. I asked him, "Benson, have you been to church?" And he says, "Yes, I used to go to church when I was young." Now, he spoke perfect British English, okay? "Went to church when I was young, but it's too far for me to walk now. It's many, many miles. I attended Catholic church." I shared with him that I was also raised Catholic. I shared with him my testimony, how I was a lost man in need of a Savior. It was God's divine appointment that I was paired with Benson that day. From South Carolina to Kenya. I believe that. So I went to the back page of that little testament. I read Romans 5:8, "For God shows His love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." And I explained it in Ephesians 2:8, that it's by grace we're saved through faith, and it's not anything that we can do. It's God's gift. I shared with Benson again that I was raised Catholic. And we prayed. I took his large, large hand in mine. It was by far the largest farmer's hand I've ever clasped. And it was as calloused as a shingle off a roof. Hard farmer's hand, harvesting those crops by hand. And as we prayed, his tears began to fall. And he said, "Yes, I want Jesus." He prayed to receive Christ that day. He signed his name in the back of that little testament. We rejoiced at what God had done and came to realize that it was all God's plan that day. It's His plan for us needing to find the schools, for needing the help to make those distributions. It was His plan for us to pick up Benson. It was His plan to pair me with Benson. All Benson's request was, "Can you take a picture and send it to me so I can show it to my children and my grandchildren?" Of course, we honored that request. Your fingerprints on those testaments that were distributed in Africa. The children were so receptive and honored that little testament, because in many times that's the only book that they own. Do you think they'll read it? Immediately when they took it, it was open and they were reading. And they were reading. Their eyes were glued on it. They would go sit down and they were reading. They'll take it home and they'll share it with a brother or sister, a mother and a father. In a country where only 34% have electricity, they're gathered by candlelight, reading God's Word. No TVs. For over 15 years, we've had the opportunity to share little military testaments like this at Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina. The Gideons are there every Tuesday and Wednesday morning and average distributing anywhere from 200 to 300 to the recruits. Now, these recruits are just getting off the buses. Now, when I was there last week, the drill sergeants, and it's different now. You got these young ladies. I'm talking about 17 and 18-year-old. I'll call them girls, okay? And those drill sergeants are screaming at them, female drill sergeants, and they call them females. You two females, come here. You know, no respect. But they're bossing them around, and their eyes are wide open. And so when they come into that briefing, some of them just off the bus, some have gotten their uniforms, some of them have had haircuts, some have not. When they go into that briefing and the drill sergeants say, on your way out this morning, the Gideons International are there and they have Bibles on the tables and they're there if you should want one. And when they come out of there, they take them, buddy. They know that they need help. I would say 99% of them grab them. Well, about 2 years ago, I was there and a little different setting. I noticed a young female recruit talking with the drill sergeant and then pointing to me. And I'm thinking, gosh, what did I do? Drill sergeant's going to scream at me about something. And she came over and she explained to me that a couple of weeks ago she was a recycle. Some of you guys that have been in the military know what a recycle is. She was a recycle. She had not performed well and she was coming back through. And she said, 2 weeks ago, she was through there, and she had had the offer to receive one of these testaments. She says, but I refused it. No, thanks. I'm good. I can do this on my own. Well, after that week unfolded, she realized she couldn't do it on her own, and she was needing help. And a buddy recruit of hers shared her little testament, and she prayed to receive Christ, a Savior. And so she just came by to thank me for being there. So, church, I say thank you. Thank you. At the rate we're going right now, that'll be about 30,000 scriptures per year provided to the recruits at Fort Jackson. We have Lieutenant Colonel Yvette Brown, a young female colonel that loves the Lord. And the General Burns there at Fort Jackson has put her in charge of ensuring that the Gideon ministry have the opportunity to share God's Word. We should be thankful for that. Such a blessing, such a blessing. A couple of years ago, I was speaking in a church up in Columbia. Large church, had two services. First morning service went well, had about 10 minutes to share. The pastor just great, gave a very positive endorsement of the Gideon ministry. Very positive. So he asked me to come on back to his office between the Sunday school time, and we sat there and had a cup of coffee, and I thanked him for that endorsement. I said, Pastor, thank you for your support of the Gideon ministry. I said, how do you know the ministry so well? He said, well, Tim, he says, some years ago, there was a young girl in our church, and she was having a very difficult time through her teenage years. Tough time fitting in with other girls, and she got with the wrong crowd. These younger girls decided that to help her fit in, they need to fix her up with a man. So they did such, and she went to a hotel room. She was waiting there for the guy to arrive. And there on the bedside table was a Gideon Place Bible. She opened it up and she was starting to read it. The knock came to the door. She got up and she was holding the Bible. The young man came in. He saw what she was holding. And he says, we can't do this. Immediately, he took her home. Even the presence of God's Word is powerful. He said, Tim, that young girl is a missionary. She's a missionary. She grew up in our church. She was a church youth leader. She went to school. She's a missionary now. And he turned around off the bookshelf, had a picture of her. That's my daughter. That's why it's personal. That's why it was personal to him. So you all have stories. You have stories. My story is this was my Bible. I shared with you I was raised Catholic. The old Catholic doctrine is you don't have a Bible, you listen to what the priest has to say. Okay? Well, this Bible was given to me by my wife and daughter. This was my first Bible. I was 30 years old. I was just born again. How can that be in this day and age, in this country, where I venture to say right now you probably have 5, 6, 7 Bibles at home, probably? I grew up in a family with 6 brothers, private school education, Christian school education, knew who God was, but had no personal relationship with Him, had never spent any time personally in the Bible. Till I met a girl that was a believer, became friends with her friends and realized that, hey, born-again believers love to hunt and fish and play basketball and softball. They like to do the fun things also. And it was through the relationship of a church like this that I came to know Christ. At our pastor's banquet this past Friday night at the Anderson Civic Center, I was honored to sit with the pastor that preached that sermon on Father's Day of 1985, where God touched my heart. I recognized my lostness in need of a Savior and came down and took that pastor by the hand and shared with him my need. He prayed with me. I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior. And it was because of the relationship of the local church that I came in the preaching of God's Word, in the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. So church, that's what we're about. It's about relationships. It's about being intentional. It's about being personal. So right now there are millions of scriptures waiting to be printed. The Gideon's ministry does not work off of credit. When the money's there, we'll buy the scriptures. And those scriptures are waiting, and there's hands held and out waiting for them in countries. Last year, about 11 million in the United States. The majority of these went to children in colleges, number one and number two, about 4 million. What was the third highest? What was the third highest distribution location? You might think hotels or motels, but no. Prisons and jails, unfortunately. A great prison ministry. So when that hotel Bible is no longer serviceable, that hard cover comes off, you put a soft cover on it, and it goes into the correctional institutions where its word can go forward. Those inmates receive the full Bible. We can't get into many of the schools. The Gideon's International has come up with this little book. It's the book of John. It has about 5 little characters in here, young people all searching for different things in life. But it points them to Christ, to the cross. It's a book that the young people are drawn to. It's almost like a little comic book. It tells about something about each little character. So these are available from the Gideon Ministry to pastors to order as many as they wish. And what they do is they give them to their high school student leaders. And it is within their amendment right to go and to pass these out to their peers in college and to school as many as they want. So however, you and I can't go into schools, but they can. So if your pastor doesn't have these, we need to make sure that he has the opportunity to order them, to read it, evaluate it, and order as many as he'd like to give to his young people. The Gideon card is another way that you can give throughout the year. You have 2 Gideon cards to display. What a great way to honor someone, their life, or thinking of them any time during the year. So that scriptures may be purchased and placed. So I don't know if you came prepared to give this morning or not. If you didn't, there's a bulletin insert, has an envelope on it. You can take it home and pray about what God would have you give. And you know, God, He honors sacrifice. He doesn't want you any Armstrong Easter offered money. Doesn't want your tithe to your church. He doesn't want any other obligation that you have to another ministry. He honors that sacrificial gift. Maybe it's that money that you've tucked away. Maybe to buy that new rod and reel, men, or that round of golf, or whatever it is you're drawn to. Ladies, maybe it's some money that you put away for that next shopping trip, go to Belk for that sale. He honors that sacrificial gift. I was speaking at a church in Aiken a couple years ago, and it was a very poor church, a country church. Oh, I mean, just... It came time, the pastor was so supportive of the Gideon ministry, he was in a wheelchair. He preached from the floor. And when it came time for the offering, they had a pickle jar on the altar, and that's what they put their offering in. And people came, and the offering was dollar bills and change, pretty much. And I was sitting here on the front, and I saw a little boy come forward. And he had a dollar bill and some change. And he dropped the change in there, and he turned around, and he looked kind of like he was looking at somebody, and he didn't want to put that dollar bill in there. He wanted to hang on to it. And he was getting some correction from somebody behind me. I couldn't tell, but he finally reluctantly put that dollar bill in there. And I thought, you know, that's sweet. That is sweet. A dollar and 15 cents or something, some pennies. And I thought, just that little bit meant so much to him. I began to think, what would that little bit do? It might have been short of a dollar and a quarter to buy a little testament like that. But that little bit of change could have been paired up with that other bit of change from somewhere else that would purchase one of these testaments for a buck and a quarter. And it would travel all the way across the ocean somewhere and go into the hands of a young person. Maybe the first book that they'd ever owned. A dollar and a quarter. Sent it there. And they would pray to receive Christ as Savior. And share it with a brother and sister, and they also come to know Christ. And a mother see the difference in their children, and want to know what it is. Maybe it's in a country where the scriptures aren't allowed. And a mother receives it, and she prays to receive Christ as Savior. And then that old rough father just working 20 hours a day to provide for that family. He too comes to know Christ as Savior. And there are testimonies that this has happened. For an investment of $1.25, the whole family comes to know the Lord. Church, your fingerprints are on these testaments. Thank you for your partnership with the Gideon Ministry. Thank you for giving, for what you have done. And if Pastor Stephen were here, Pastor Stephen, thank you. Please thank him on my behalf. I'll send him a letter, but nothing like being it personal. Lives are being changed. Your gifts have an eternal significance. So again, I say thank you, Al. Thank you for your Gideon Ministry. Mr. Alrod, thank you. We need more men to join the Gideons. No man becomes a Gideon without the approval of his pastor. So they have to be recommended by a pastor. So if you feel led to serve, talk with your pastor. We'd love to have you serve alongside of us. Brothers and sisters, thank you for your love for the ministry. Thank you for your mission of your church. Your small churches like this that God uses and God loves and God's support through your gifts, the Gideon Ministry, allow us to reach others for Christ that would never have a scripture. Never have another way to find a scripture if it wasn't for you. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Well, I said a while ago, it had been 2 years in the making to have the convention here this week. As of this past Wednesday, we had another speaker lined up for this service. Brother from Conway, South Carolina. I don't know what happened to John. I don't know if he got sick. I don't know. But Tim was available and was here today to bring us this message. Tim, I thank you so much for what you do for our ministry. I thank you for being here today. I know that our church, 2-3 times a year, I know we're asking and you're giving. We did it at Christmas. They do it at Bible school. We do a church service. Thank you so much for on behalf of all of our Gideons. Thank you so much for what you do and for our ministry. You're not doing it for us. You're doing it for the men and women and the boys and girls around the world. Tim will be at the back door. At the end of the service, if you feel led to give something, he'll be glad to take a love offering there. Robert, if I could ask you to take care of the offering for us once it's received, I'd appreciate it. I'll be at the back. I'm supposed to greet anyway this month, so I'll be there doing Steve's part in my job too. Lori, if you would come and have our closing song.
Our closing hymn is I Will Sing the Wonder Story, Psalm 499. Let's stand and sing.